Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us on another of the most scintillating hours in finance radio. And happy to be here today. Like I was telling the folks on KTTH before we were joined by the rest of our contingent there on Cairo, I hope you all are having a wonderful holiday weekend. Hopefully you were able to see some loved ones. If you weren't, hopefully you got to be able to talk to them. And it's my prayer from our family to yours that everybody's safe and healthy. And then everybody's hanging in there. And the other thing that we were talking about is just, you know, yet again, just observing what a crazy year this has been. So many things that I think all of us would probably agree that we never thought were going to happen or that were even possible have taken place. It feels like I'm living in Alice in Wonderland, where, you know, what is it? Who says that, you know, I believe, what is it? I believe as many as 8 impossible things before breakfast every day or something to that effect. That's kind of the way this world feels. You know, spent some time this week looking at what's gone on again this year and preparing for the final month of the year and looking at all this and scratching my head and just going, you know, how could anybody predict stock markets, all of the indexes at record highs now, solidly up on the year. S&P's up 13% on the year, so higher than average annual gain. NASDAQ's up almost 30% on the year. Dow's up on the year. Record highs, record valuations across the board. In a year where you'll have an economic hit that's twice the severity of the financial crisis. It's just mind numbing. And yet we have to adjust, right? And we're going to get into that in that next segment, talking about spotting bubbles, right? We've got to adjust. This is one of the things that we were talking about earlier this year, saying, look, if as crazy as this is, as nonsensical as this is, and guys, just for people that are starting to listen, when I say it's nonsensical, I don't mean that if you didn't buy these stocks or if you bought these stocks and they went up that you didn't make money. You did. Okay, there's no question about it. But when businesses get weakened and their revenues and profits drop, the value of that business should not go up. And especially it should not go up substantially. Now, there are reasons for that, like we've been telling you, right? Record amounts of government printing. I mean, you know, when you've got people just printing money like it's, you know, what is it? Cotton candy, you know, just spin it out. Here's some for you. Right. It's a carnival approach to monetary policy. That money's got to go somewhere. But it's just tack it on is another unbelievable thing. The valuation thing to me is really stunning, too, because now you are just knocking on a 40 PE. Price to earnings ratio. Now, keep in mind, long-term average price to earnings, which I don't want to talk in vernacular, but let's remember, it's the price. It's a ratio of looking at the price of the stock compared to the amount of profit. And people go, well, what about revenue? Listen, revenue doesn't pay anybody. Gets people excited about a stock, but revenue does not pay investors. Profit does. So at the end of the day, you can go through periods of times like the one that we are currently in where profit means nothing. And all the market cares about is revenue growth, even if that revenue growth comes with substantial losses. And it's all because these businesses are all the next Amazon. I can assure you that's not the case. But that's the crazy thing about this. And this is one of the things, like I said, that we were saying earlier this year, is that, look, yeah, this looks like a bear market rally. The underlying fundamentals of the economy cannot support this. That is true. We said that the economy would begin weakening again in the fall, especially if there wasn't another stimulus package. That was true. Markets just don't care. And we said, if you break out to new all-time highs, you've got to pivot, right? Just because this thing could go a lot higher. And I think that that's where we're at. I think it's going to be a rocky ride. I just don't see anything slowing this down until it does. And that's, and we'll get more into this. And that's what I mean about not spotting bubbles. You can spot bubbles. The question is nobody can predict when they end, because And the reason for that is once you get into a bubble stage, I think people misunderstand. To me, a bubble is just when asset prices, for reasons, you know, unrelated to the individual assets, and usually it's a confluence of events, right? It's usually surrounding an asset class that's doing really well for whatever reason, or an emerging technology or things like that, which we clearly have. And then it runs into the right circumstances, and then boom, you get this asset class that will never stop going up and that everybody has to own. And what you see happen is the price of those securities, the price of those investments get completely detached from any sense of normal, from any sense of reality. Meaning that if, you know, at the end of the day, I don't care what you think of a company, eventually that company will be priced at or valued based on the amount of profit it produces. Because nothing else matters. I mean, that's it. That will happen. And the interesting thing about where we're at when we talk about price to earnings ratios, right, we're right knocking on the door of 40, and that's still with fourth quarter of last year. So that's not even looking at the reduction of earnings that we'll see in the fourth quarter this year. We think by the time the fourth quarter is reported this year, S&P will probably be more like, you know, 45, possibly higher. Again, as long as this keeps up, is that some kind of limit? No. Maybe the S&P will go to an 80 price to earnings ratio. That's the crazy world we're living in now, is that nothing is real. There are no rules. You've got negative interest rates. You got governments printing trillions of dollars. And yet the only thing anybody's worried about is deflation, not inflation. You know, everything's upside down. So we continue to say that, look, until this ends, you know, you're going to have to keep listening to stories of people that are idiots, that are that are levered. And I see it. I'm seeing it all the time. You see these people taking risks in retail portfolios that are just insane. And they will look smart until this ends. It's just the way it is. You know, if you're one of those people, and I think this is where people really need to identify who they are as an investor. If you're one of those people that cannot take multiple years of hearing your neighbors and your friends, even though you know that long term they're doing ridiculous things, you know, house flipping and, you know, it's the same. It's just human behavior. If you're one of those people that just can't take it and sit back and do it, you can jump in the party. You just need to be ready for the ride, meaning that you are playing something that will end badly. And it could end badly at any moment. And the reason we say that, again, is not, we're not doomsdayers. We're just saying that that when you are buying things because they are going up, irrespective of the underlying performance or cash flows or balance sheet, you know, solvency or any of that kind of stuff, that it works until it won't, right? There is no reality to fall back on. If I go out and buy Berkshire Hathaway I'm trying to think of a good solid company and I don't want to give any recommendations or, you know, one of these companies that's been around for a long time and, you know, it's still a growing business. It's not a dying business and they're producing revenues and I'm buying them at a 6 or 7 price to earnings ratio. I know for a fact that if I hold that, well, I don't know for a fact, but right. I look at businesses that are well managed, good businesses in good shape, all that kind of stuff. I buy it and I know that time is on my side. That eventually the valuation will fall back into norms, and that realistically the only thing I really need to make that investment work is discipline, right? The ability to not respond to short term movements, and over time it'll make me money. Now what you see happening right now is the exact inverse of that. These people are buying things that if they hold it long enough, they will lose money. Because that thing is not being valued on any type of traditional metric. There's nothing there, right? So the stock could go up 50%, the stock could go down 50%, and, you know, maybe nothing really would have to change in the underlying business. That's how, again, if you have a company that's doing doing $1.5 billion a year in revenue, right? That's the amount of total sales they're bringing in, and they're losing $500 million a year. And they're doing that because they're growing, right? And they tell you that. And that company gets up to a point where their market cap is $140 billion. Could it double from there? Sure. Just because the valuation on the business is completely detached from the underlying fundamentals. Right? So as long as more people are buying that than selling it, it's going to keep going up. At some point, though, and I'll just tell you, I guarantee you this will occur. At some point, people take a step back and go, what am I buying here? You know, fundamentals will all of a sudden matter. And I think that that's taking place. You're seeing another surge, though, especially the last couple of days. Kind of see tech bouncing back hard now. And, you know, we kind of think that this has topped out because if you're in these things, for God's sakes, take some profit. OK, the valuation's been nuts for 2 years. This is just insane. It's just insane. You're going to get killed if you hold this stuff. And I'll probably look for an idiot for like another 6 to 8 months, probably. It's just because they always go longer than you think. But, you know, those laughs and that feeling of being brilliant, like you've really picked some winners, that fades really quick when you're down 50 or 60%. Or God forbid more. And I know that that's going on. It's just remarkable. Tesla pushing up against $600 billion market cap now worth more than Berkshire Hathaway. I mean, it's the most bizarre market I've ever seen. I couldn't believe it. Actually, Jim Cramer came out the other day and said this is the most speculative he's ever seen the stock market in his career. And I would agree with him. I don't know what's taken him so long to get on board with that, but, it is remarkable. It is really remarkable. So anyway, we'll dive more into that into the next. I kind of foreshadowed that segment I want to do on bubbles. But anyway, we got to take a quick break, guys. If you want to know if all this stuff concerns you, but you still recognize it, look, I got to make money because, you know, I know that this market's been crazy for 5 years, Zach, but it keeps going up. You're exactly right. Right. And so why do we do things the way that we do it? Why do we focus on risk management? Because in markets like this, that's all we can focus on. Is how much risk exposure do our clients have? When the reckoning comes, when these prices go back to a place that's more realistic, and that will happen, we got to make sure that they're okay, that they're not going to get washed out with the tide, right? In the meantime, if this keeps going, and this is the runaway stock market that never stops, now it will, right? It will. But what I'm saying is that, you know, you've got to look at other big bubbles before, like Japan in 1980 in the 80s. And those bubbles suggest that this could continue to go. And it could be substantially higher before it stops. So if that keeps happening, you also need to benefit from that, right? So what do you need? You need risk management. You need a portfolio that benefits from the madness and continues to go up with markets. But yet make sure that you have a chair when the music stops. You should also do that with substantially less risk. Right. So you're fine when it's time to pay the piper and with substantially less fees. Can we increase your performance to the upside, give you more upside participation in the market, lower your fees and drastically lower your risk? Yes, that's what we do. So call us 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. Subscribe to the podcast, Google Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Subscribe. All you got to do is hit subscribe. It comes to your inbox automatically. You can follow me on Twitter at KYR Radio. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio podcast.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Tory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Okay, so as for market update, guys, not more of the same. Melt up action. You're still seeing an outperformance in value to growth. Growth had a pretty nice little snapback week. Go look at Tesla. It's a proxy for that. Tesla's broken through to a new all-time high. I will say this, though. Some really smart people, Tony Greer, talked about it last week. On a technical basis, Tesla looks like it's weakening. I think Tesla, I personally believe, you know, I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. You guys know my thoughts on Tesla. I think that Tesla, to me, is one of those story stocks that when that story finally goes, I think the overall markets can have a really tough time. The other reason why I think that is because the option action and the craziness and the 3X, three times levered bullish ETFs that all they do is invest in Tesla, that the most reactive force in this market, the retail Robin Hooders, those are the people that are loaded to the guns in Tesla. So I really firmly believe when this name finally does break, that it's going to cause a lot of carnage in markets just because the amount of leverage and option exposure and all these things, it really is. I put out a tweet earlier this day, and I'm not, again, if you invested in Tesla and you've enjoyed the ride, hats off to you. I am not, this ain't a sour grape story. I'm not trying to gripe about it. I got a couple clients that bought Tesla stock. I warned them not to, and they killed it. Okay. What I'm just telling you is that, you know, at some point you pat yourself on the back and give yourself credit for making a good trade. I think that's what you should be doing with this name. I just think it's crazy. I was talking to somebody about it this week and I put out a tweet and just said, in my career, I have never seen a stock that was that nonsensical when it came to evaluation. And what I mean by that is there are quote unquote more expensive stocks out there, but those companies are performing in a way where, yes, the price is ridiculous, but you can contort the numbers to kind of understand why that some of those companies with those crazy valuations, I think investors will get hurt eventually, but those companies are also growing revenue and profits at a rate that we've never seen before. So I can kind of get there, right? I kind of see where people are coming from. With Tesla, it just doesn't matter. I mean, the CEO can lie through his teeth, all the things they say they're going to launch. Go back and look over the last 5 years and all of this stuff that's fueled Tesla's run. Go look at all the things that they were supposed to accomplish and have by the time 2020 came around. Well, now 2020's over and you still don't have any of it. And yet no one cares. This is a company whose revenues have actually decreased over the last 12 months. Now, you had COVID in there, but I'm just saying there are these high-flying tech companies who still have phenomenal year-over-year growth. Again, you know, in a year like COVID, as crazy as it is, if you still increased revenue 50 or 60%, I don't think your stock is worth 80 times revenue. But you can see that you know, that's incredible performance, right? Tesla is not one of those. Tesla got hit by COVID just like everybody else did. And yet it's got this valuation that is just detached. It really is remarkable. Anyway, I don't want to spend my whole time talking about that. Bitcoin on another run. You guys know my thoughts on Bitcoin. I think you're good owning a little bit of it. You know, 1.5%, 2%. Because it can go to a million, it can go to zero. And the people, you know, someone will be right in that case. And the person that's right will get hailed as a person that saw it all. In all reality, it's people just placing their bets, and you got a bunch of people placing bets. Somebody's got to be right. I think that's what happened with Bitcoin. I will say this, though, and this is not an endorsement. All the people that were referring to Bitcoin, and I was at the time, too, the last time it made that $20,000 high, when it had that parabolic run to $20,000 and everybody was Bitcoin crazy. If it was just a bubble asset, the interesting thing about bubbles that have blow off tops, you can take this back to the tulip bubble. You take it back to the tech bubble. Look, some aspects of bubbles will survive and go on. But one of the things in bubbles is that you see is that once that run is over, it's over. Right. Tulips don't bounce back. Pets.com didn't bounce back. Right. They go away. Bitcoin was just back the other day, knocking on 20,000. So it's kind of a big test that it's posed, which is, I still don't really know what it is. I still don't really know its place in the world, but it is not a bubble asset, just like tulip bubbles. because those things never do what Bitcoin has done. They never find their footing and make a charge back. Now, it's gotten hit a couple of the last couple of days, but that's the thing with Bitcoin is it's going to be volatile. It's going to be all over the place. That's sort of the way it is. It's also why I don't think anybody should have a big chunk, right? If you want a small little piece, I think that's okay. But just know that, you know, the thing, it can do anything, and it will. The other thing, energy continues to act well. I kind of think right here, I think over the long run, energy is a phenomenal value. Tony and I talked about it last week on our interview. Just my opinion, I think it's outrun itself a little bit here in the interim. If you weren't buying energy related stocks back close to the bottom, which we were, if you weren't, I don't think now is probably a great time to add. I think you'd want to wait for a pullback here because you've seen a pretty substantial run. That being said, when you have that much negativity built up in a sector like you have in energy, and people realize that the sun will come out tomorrow, people realize or seem to be starting to realize that all this talk about not needing oil in 8 to 10 years is complete nonsense. I would be careful because you don't have to see oil correct. You don't have to see these oil stocks take a hit. They've gone on a great run here recently, but they were so beaten down, guys, right? They were so beaten down. So if you were a long-term investor, I still think there's incredible opportunity and value in energy over the long run. Over the short run, it seems like we've kind of outpaced ourselves a little bit. And I think the same is true in gold right here. You guys know I'm a big believer as gold of a part of a balanced portfolio and diversification. You know, if you're going to buy here, if you don't own any gold or any gold stocks or any gold related assets, I think that right now is a good level to start buying. We'd been out of gold for the most part for about the last 2 months, and we just started reinstituting a gold position in the last 5 days. And I think that that's the way to go. I think it looks to me like there's still some mud. There's still some potential downside for gold here, just kind of looking at the chart. But, you know, I don't know. Just playing the odds. It looks like to me like there's a little bit of weakness. Certainly something that you want to keep an eye on. But gold's going to do this. You know, you got a big, beautiful run. You get a pullback, some consolidation, and you move on to higher levels. I don't think it's anything to panic on. I kind of look at those levels at, you know, 1650, 1600 on gold, that if it broke through those, that would really be a head scratcher to me because, you know, I think that you'd really need to show some caution in gold right there. But, you know, people are like, oh, the gold runs over. Oh, you know, I think this is normal to this point. Not very fun if you're a gold investor. You've given back some hard-earned gains, but overall, still way up on the year. And like I said, if you don't have a gold position, I think it's a wonderful opportunity to start adding. You know, don't go in there and buy it all right now, but just add. And it goes down a little bit more, add a little bit more. You know, I think you're going to be happy owning gold over the long run for sure. Everything other than that, and there's a lot of reasons for it, guys. Just trust me. There's a lot of mechanical reasons for that right now. I think this, pardon me, hiccup there. I think this next week's going to be really interesting. And I'll tell you why. There are a lot of mechanical things going into play here. And there are a lot of mechanical aspects of the market because of the unusual activity coming out of the Robinhood people, because of the panic buying, because of the craziness of this year. There's a lot of really interesting undercurrents, again, that people aren't really paying attention to. I think this next week is really a interesting week because I think in this next week, you are going to continue to blast off or you're going to struggle and run into some problems. I think that we are set. What it looks like to me right now is we are really set up for a good bout of volatility here. That would be my guess. My guess is that we'd see some good volatility in the markets here and some gut checks for investors going into the end of the year. That being said, there's been a lot of, one of the things that I'm interested about on the long side here, being long this market going into the end of the year, is there has been a lot of underperformance. Okay, a lot of guys panicked and sold at the bottom, and they're sitting on ugly year-end returns, and this market is rallying, and, you know, there's career risk in markets, meaning that, you know, the S&P is up, what, 12, 13% on the year. If you're down 20, you don't want, right? You don't want to post much work. I mean, you know, you really want to try to close that gap by the end of the year. I think that you could be, for those reasons, I think you could see more panic buying and you could see this market go substantially higher in the next month. Not saying that's what's going to happen. It just would not be surprising to me. I just think you're going to have a lot of these managers out there who have probably underperformed the last 5 years for good reason. Then this year is kind of a blow off top in their underperformance, and they're going to be pressing toward the end of the year. So I think you need to be careful. But at the same time, if you put a gun to my head, based on what I'm seeing in markets, it really feels like this thing just wants to keep ripping. It just and in these environments, you have to go with it, and you just have to resign yourself and quit struggling, quit fighting, quit getting angry. I've had all of those emotions, all of those things have happened to me before, but you just have to accept it. You're in a period of time that doesn't make sense, and it's not going to make sense. You're not crazy. This is what fear and greed do, right? The same thing, you could see the same thing on the inverse back in 09, the bottom in 09. You couldn't get anybody to buy a stock, right? Now it's just the opposite end of the game. People believe you cannot lose. And this is what markets do. And where's the truth? As always, somewhere in the middle. So anyway, we got to take a quick break. As always, guys, you know how this story ends. And it doesn't mean you have to throw every single thing underneath underneath your mattress. It doesn't mean you have to go into all gold, and we'll get into that specifically in the next conversation. But what you need is a risk management strategy. You need to know that if the whole world blows to pieces, you're going to be okay. You need to know that if this market drops 60% and goes back to some semblance of sanity and fair value, that you're going to be okay. Your retirement portfolio needs to work regardless of what happens in the world. Right? Doesn't that make a little sense? Especially when you can make it do that and give yourself more upside. So if this crazy market keeps running, you'll make more, paying less fees, taking less risk. Are you interested? You should be. That's the name of the game. Spend the 30 seconds it takes or the 3 minutes it takes to call us and to get a consultation. Get our Common Sense Investing booklet. Just get informed. Invest 3 minutes for the rest of your life. Anyway, got to take a quick break. Stick with us through the break. We'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio and the Know Your Risk Radio podcast.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson inviting you to join me and my friends from 525 Advisors for their final long-term care planning live webinar of the year, Wednesday, December 10th at 3 p.m., right after the big show. It's free and you'll learn so much. This is a great time to get answers about long-term care. 525 Advisors will explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. Then, when you're ready, 525 Advisors will work with you to design your custom plan, just like they did for my wife and me. Our plan even has lifetime benefits that pay our estate back if we never use it. I cannot overstate the peace of mind we feel in having that long-term care coverage. I love the amount of time they spent with us, and it's not just me. Read the reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors. So sign up today for this final free live webinar of the year, Wednesday, December 10th at 3. I'll be there too. Go to 525longtermcare.com, 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. All right, I got a little bit off focus. Shocker, right? Little bit off beat there and off message. Wanted to talk about bubbles a little bit more, and it has to do with a conversation I had with a client recently. And I've said this before on the show, and I could not be more clear. And let me just tell you, it comes from personal experience multiple times, watching this happen to other people. The tendency for investors, and it's not just you, it's not just me, it's everybody, is that you want to be perfect, that you want to load up on the one thing that's going to do the best. And let me just tell you this. Take a deep breath, take a bit of wisdom from one guy to another right now, and recognize that you may do that once or twice in your career, but what will happen to you if you do that is you will lose more than you win. I'm just telling you, okay? You are not smarter than the markets, neither am I, and diversification is a real thing. If you ever hear somebody use the word diversification, laugh at them and walk away, okay? That's ridiculous. And the reason I bring this up is I have a client of mine, very love the guy, great guy, smart guy, and retired, nice size, multi-million-dollar portfolio. And he recently took about a 65 to 70% of that chunk of portfolio and went all into precious metals with that much. And his reasons for doing it were sound, right? He was concerned about all the money printing and all these other kind of things, blah, blah. And I looked at him and I said, look, I agree with the motive behind why you did that. And I said, but the one thing that you have to remember about gold, and I really don't care. I was raised around gold, and you guys have heard me say it a million times. And I've said it today. I think gold is a valuable part of the portfolio, and I think it's going to be even more valuable than it's been in the past over the next 10 to 20 years. That being said, go pull up a chart. It can get ugly. What do we want? We want a portfolio that works in all right environments. Because we're retired. You put 70% of your portfolio in gold, you've just now created a binary investment outcome. Right? Meaning it's either going to work great or it's going to be a disaster. That's not what you want in retirement, guys. I get the sentiment. And you're hearing those people out there, convert your Roth IRA to a gold-backed IRA. No, convert part of it. Guys, investing is just like life. There's never one answer. And the people that think there is one answer are the people that go through immense amounts of pain. And every once in a while, one of those people gets lucky and everybody holds them up as a paragon of how things should be done. And we as human beings never step back and go, wait a second, that's an outlier. How do most people achieve success in investment goals? Through consistency and discipline. Not by betting on one thing. And so we end up chasing the outlier story and we don't take the guaranteed or the sure path to success. It's a unique thing about human beings. And I see it all the time. We want to base our approach on the outlier, not the average, which is insane. Right? It's what we should do is we should build a portfolio that will get us to where we need to go, right? And that if we get lucky along the way, that outcome can even get substantially better. But more importantly, we build a portfolio that can't kill us. And if you've got 70% of your liquid assets in anything, I don't care what it is. It's just too much risk exposure. People are like, well, what if it plays out? And I go, you're missing the point. Because what if it plays out? What if you hit it perfect and you get a 3 or 4x your money on gold in the space of the next 24 months? And then you believe that you're much smarter than you are, and you lose all of that plus some on your next all-in bet. See, this is what people don't think about. They go, oh, you got it right. You can see the same thing that happened, and I don't mean to denigrate any of these guys, because I think even the ones it's happened to are brilliant, and I understand the reasons why it happened to them. But go look at several of the investors that made massive money shorting the mortgage market in the Big Short, in the financial crisis. Many of them have not had a single win since then and have given back huge percentages of that money. Does that mean they were any less right? No, they made a heck of a call. But when you play like that, you also need to accept the inverse, because there is no, guys, there is no free lunch. There is no secret way. I mean, I do think there's a secret way. I just don't think it looks like secrets, right? It looks like you ask your friend, you run into him, you haven't seen him in 2 years, and he looks like he's in great shape. You go, what have you been doing? And it's always funny we ask that question, because I've gotten the point now where, oh, I didn't ask him, but I got a good guess. Probably good diet and working out, right? That's probably it. Yet we all, is there a special supplement? Right? We're all looking for that outlier. It's just a funny thing about human beings, and you can see it bleed into the investment philosophies and investment approaches, and you can't let that happen. So is gold a good, valuable thing to have in the portfolio? Absolutely. And it's actually really misunderstood. But it's important, like anything else you own. Another guy, and we'll talk about this one a little bit. Well, we'll talk about it a little bit right now. Another buddy of mine, actually my personal trainer, love him to death. A little more on the speculative side, younger guy. And he was looking for a stock tip. Well, I gave him a stock tip. It was a small trade that we were running in our portfolio, and I'll lay it out. One of the things that we've been looking at is that narrative is an incredibly important thing in investing, and it's especially true now. Narrative right now, and I don't think it's ever been more true in this. I think 99 was close, and I think the narrative has just gone over the top now. But meaning that narrative more than anything else, including valuations or cash flow statements or balance sheets, narrative is what's driving stock prices. You know, people are like, Tesla's going to take over the world. And I go, so you're buying their stock? Yes. And I go, okay, do you realize that they're already worth 2.5 to 3 times more than the next largest automobile manufacturer in the world? So if that's why you're buying their stock here, you've already gotten the reward for that. They're already worth more than any other automobile manufacturer in history, and trading at valuations that automobile manufacturers have never traded at. So you already won. But what that means to the investor is that if that's your thesis for investing, then you should sell it. Why? Because it's already happened. You're literally paying this ridiculous price because the stock price movement that you think is going to happen, it's already priced that way. Is Tesla going to be the world's largest manufacturer of automobiles at any point in the next 5 to 7 years? No, it's not going to happen. But if you believe it is, I'm just saying, right? It just doesn't make any sense. But my whole point is, it's the narrative driving it. So we saw a stock that fit perfectly into the narrative and is a small trading opportunity. We thought it was ripe, and I'm not going to give you the name of it because I don't want to encourage people to go out and buy it. I'm not giving a recommendation, but we bought it and watched it very carefully. But that stock in the last 4 weeks has gone up. What are we at? 150% in 4 weeks. And I told this guy, this more aggressive investor, my personal trainer, I told him, he's like, do you have any stock tips? And I told him about this one. And so he's like, yeah, I bought it. So then I checked in with him and he's like, I'm kicking myself. And I go, why? And he goes, because I barely bought any. And I go, well, how much do you do? It was a ridiculously small amount, even of his portfolio. And I looked at him, I go, why would you do that? And he goes, well, because I was scared. And I go, scared of what? And he goes, well, scared I'd lose money. And I go, but you didn't bet enough to win either. Like, why would you make an investment so small that even if the investment works, it doesn't pay you? Right? See, if you're right, which you ended up being in this case, it didn't matter. Which is why we get into this conversation of sizing is everything. So often I hear investors talk about what should I buy? And they very rarely ask, how much should I buy? How much of it should I buy? And the irony to that is that anything in your portfolio, if sized correctly, is acceptable. Now, there's some things I wouldn't advise, but if it's sized correctly, it's acceptable. If it's super risky and doesn't really make any sense, and it's a total narrative stock like Tesla, if you own 2% of your portfolio, weight in Tesla wouldn't kill you. The flip side is if you're right, 2% is still large enough to where if it triples, you know, that's one stock alone would contribute a 4% gain to the portfolio. So that makes a little sense. How about 0.5%? Not unless that 0.5% you think has a realistic opportunity to go up 20 to 30 times, because that's what it would have to do to make a difference in the portfolio. So if you see something like that, like a Bitcoin, right, that could do that, then you can throw a little bit of money at it. But if you think a stock has a potential to double or triple, I wouldn't load up on the thing, but you have to size it correctly. And how does this relate to gold? Same concept. Is gold appropriate to have in your portfolio? Yes. Like I said, nearly everything is appropriate if it's in the right size. And so people sit there and they want to always judge investments by outcomes. I get that. But there are times where even if it works, right, it's kind of like your kid climbing to the top of a tree. Like, oh, I won't. And even if the kid doesn't fall and hurt themselves, maybe that's a bad analogy because I wouldn't really mind my kids. Broken bones are part of the game. But it's like a 13-year-old taking a car for a joyride, right? What's the big deal? Why are you mad? I got back and nobody got killed, right? And you go, you're missing the point. Even though you didn't get in trouble, and even though you didn't kill anybody, you didn't wreck the car, it's still a horrible idea. And why? It's the risk reward. Do you need, if you're a guy with, you know, several million dollars in a retirement portfolio that has a substantial pension, very little debt, he's all good. Do you need to take that level of risk? No. Because even if you win, you were risking too much to begin with. You were threatening the viability of your retirement. That's stupid. And I'm not calling this guy stupid. He's not. He's very smart. But I'm just saying, guys, all things in moderation, right? It's not, this isn't PhD doctorate level stuff. But too much of anything is not a good thing. And if you want to know how much is right, that's another part of risk management, guys. Give us a call. Okay. And for those of you out there that think gold is an essential part of your portfolio going forward, I agree with it. But here's a dirty little secret. Gold and silver ain't the only thing that benefit from massive inflation. Okay, it's not. You need other things. You need diversification. You need a portfolio that works no matter what happens. If we have rampant inflation, which will come at some point, if we have rampant inflation or a deflationary depression like we did in the 30s, like almost happened in 08, 09, you need a portfolio that works in either scenario. And if you're not confident, if you don't know for sure you have that, call us. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com or capitalmanagement.com. You guys know the drill. Stick with us through the break. We'll be right back. This is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast on Know Your Risk Radio.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson inviting you to join me and my friends from 525 Advisors for their final long-term care planning live webinar of the year, Wednesday, December 10th at 3 p.m., right after the big show. It's free and you'll learn so much. This is a great time to get answers about long-term care. 525 Advisors will explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. Then, when you're ready, 525 Advisors will work with you to design your custom plan, just like they did for my wife and me. Our plan even has lifetime benefits that pay our estate back if we never use it. I cannot overstate the peace of mind we feel in having that long-term care coverage. I love the amount of time they spent with us, and it's not just me. Read the reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors. So sign up today for this final free live webinar of the year, Wednesday, December 10th at 3. I'll be there too. Go to 525longtermcare.com, 525longtermcare.com.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. All right, we got to tie this one up, but one of the things that I wanted to finish on and just take a few moments to say, and if you could just labor with me through this, just some things that I'm thankful for. Is I just think it's important in a year like this to at least take a little bit of time when it's so easy to focus on all the bad. You know, one of the things I've learned in my business, my personal life, and I'm sure a lot of you can sympathize or empathize or feel similarly, that even when you're going through bad years like this, where the reality on the ground is not very good, civil unrest, right? Financial issues, unemployment, businesses getting ruined, pandemics, all these kinds of things, your problems and the troubles, one of the things I've learned in life is they're always going to be there. And that one of the best ways to stay buoyant and to stay afloat and to stay effective, right? You see all these people on either side, you know, of the political aisle walking around like the world is ending because their guy didn't win, or now the other side, oh, they're, even though he lost, he's still going to try to. You look at all these people right now that are up to their eyeballs in problems. And you know what people that are drowning in problems, people that are focusing on problems, you know what those people are always unable to do? They're always unable to come up with solutions. They're always unable to see potential and to see possibility. Because they're focused on the problem. And I've also found that in my life, one of the best ways to not focus on the problem is to, even in dark moments, to take inventory and stop and pray and remember what I'm thankful for. So what am I thankful for? First and foremost, I'm incredibly thankful, more so than any of you could possibly know, to be able to get to do what I love to do, to be able to communicate with so many of you on a radio show like this, to be a self-employed guy whose business is still up and running this year because mine wasn't the type of business that got selected to get squashed. I'm thankful for the health of my children and the health of my wife. I'm thankful for so many great friends that I have and family and support. I'm thankful that we have food to eat. You know, yesterday sitting there thinking about, you know, how I'm going to muster up the courage to attack the grub again and just stop for a second and realize that you're sitting there thinking about eating through the pain, right? And some people don't have anything to eat. And I'm so incredibly grateful for the opportunity to speak to you guys every week. And just again, that, you know, what a horrible year, but if you're listening to this radio show and you just enjoyed Thanksgiving yesterday, you're still here. And as long as we're still here, right? As long as we got bullets in the gun, we're not out of it. And I think a big part of that is even for people in this political season, right? Is we got to, regardless of what side of this aisle you were on or whatever, you got to flush it, and you can't let the anger burn you up. You can't let it occupy you and take over your brain, because it'll blind you. We got to keep our eyes looking forward, right? We got to keep pressing through. It reminds me of the not to get unserious about this, but the Never Ending Story. Big. If you're under the age of 30, you probably go, what in the world is he talking about? But Never Ending Story, huge popular kid show when I was growing up, kid movie. And they're going through the swamp, he and his horse, Artex. Atreyu was the protagonist of the story, and he's got a horse named Artex. I think it was like the Swamp of Despair or something like that. And if you stop moving in the swamp, it would suck you under because it also demoralized you, right? It saddened you and you'd quit moving and you'd focus on the sadness and the grief and it would just envelop you. And you just had to keep moving. And I thought back to that so many times in life. Starting Bulwark was like that. There were so many times where we were up against it financially, not on the investment side, but just on the business side, running a business. And what got us through it is, first of all, faith and prayer. But the other thing was just having that to recognize the problem and then become solution minded. And the number one way to get there, because nobody stays there. Right, you get demoralized. You have bad days. You have negative days where you want to come home and kick the dog and throw it, right? Everybody has them. The quickest way to get back into that mindset for me has always been sit down and start thinking about what you're thankful for. Start thinking about what you've got as opposed to what you don't have, right? What tools do I have rather than focusing on the ones that I don't? People are like, oh, it's all that positive thinking. Yeah, it is positive thinking. And if you think positive thinking and focusing on solutions is a waste of time, God bless you, because you're going to have a tough run. That all we can control is what we can control ourselves. And what we can always control, is our mindset and whether we're living in gratitude or whether we're living in anger, whether we're living in frustration. And that's a choice. We can't control the pitches we see, but we can control which ones we swing at. So anyway, I hope you guys all have a wonderful weekend. I appreciate you listening. Enjoy your holiday weekend. See family if you can. If you can't because of the virus, I get it. But just thanks again for joining us. And as always, guys, give us a call. 866-779-RISK. 866-779-RISK. And not just if you're afraid of losing. I know a lot of people out there that listen to the show that see a lot of the things that we see, and they're afraid, so they're sitting in cash, or they're all in bonds, and they're not appreciating. Right? It's two sides of this. We've also got to grow your money to improve your safety and security. But we have to do it in a way that we know you're not going to get wrecked. And that's what we do. So call us. 866-779-RISK and 866-779-RISK. And we'll lower your fees and drastically reduce your risk in the process. It's a winner. Anyway, have a great weekend, guys. Go Hawks on Monday. Big one. But we will be back next week. Have an awesome interview lined up. So don't miss the show. We got to run. Happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next week. This is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast on Know Your Risk Radio.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.